You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 293. Today is Sunday, April 12th, 2015, and my name is Steve. We're back at full strength tonight with both Hammy and Kurt. And tonight's show is sponsored by Front Row Seats. They are our first ever sponsor. We're happy to be partnered with them. So if you are looking for Braves tickets at the best price online, guaranteed, use discount code ABT at Front Row Seats checkout page, and you won't pay any service fees. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com or download the mobile app today. That's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll play Real or Mirage as we look back at this amazing 5-1 start to the season, a start that I predicted and Kurt mocked me for, I might add.
I was wondering how quickly you would address that into the show.
And the over-under of 30 seconds, I think, came under.
Yes.
We'll discuss.
That was actually Hamilton. I wasn't even on the show last week.
That's right.
Nice try, Kurt. We'll discuss the home opener and what some of the ex-Braves are up to. But first, guys, because we were all going out of town last week for spring break, and we recorded the show Saturday night, the Braves, of course, went ahead and made maybe the biggest move of all of their offseason moves while we were driving and flying places, by sending Craig Kimbrell and Melvin Upton to the Padres for Maybin, Quinton, their top pitching prospect and one of their interesting outfield prospects. So, Curtis, let's just start here on this good move or bad move by the Braves.
I'm torn. I mean, obviously, it's something that they had to do. I guess the only part I'm torn about is the impact that the return you got, and it was nice that you got for Kimbrell, hedged by having to throw in Melvin. And obviously, they were doing everything they could. Lots of reports about how they were really not going to give up Kimbrell without someone eating the Upton contract as well. So
right, and there was interesting stuff that they had basically zeroed in on the Dodgers and the Padres because they were the only teams that fit the profile of who had the money, who could take Melvin, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the Dodgers, amazingly, with their $270 million payroll, were unwilling to overpay for more.
Well, they already have Carl Crawford and
Ethier and all Ethier. Sorts of guys out there. So, you look at what we got back, and you had to figure that some of these guys were already in the conversations that the Braves had with the Padres with the Justin Upton deal. And you look at what we've gotten now from the Padres, and you hope that with the collective return that we've pulled from the Padres, that it is a Mark Teixeira type of trade. I mean, we have set three of their top seven prospects with Jace Peterson and Max Fried thrown in there, two of their two top pitching prospects, and really the only other top prospects they have in the top between these guys, the ones that we didn't, are catchers and second baseman, which we don't really need any more of those. So this guy's supposed to be a really interesting outfield prospect. He can be a right fielder. I saw a high upside of guy like Jay Bruce, which is certainly a very nice major league contributor. We've now got four of the top 71 picks coming up in the draft. So you hope the Braves are going to commit more to the draft and maybe spend some money on some draft picks. It's obviously sad to see Kimbrell go, but it's something that had to be done. And I think that the return combined with getting rid of Melvin, you have to applaud the Braves for making the move.
So are you on the fence though? It sounds like you're sort of for it though. Admit it, Kurt.
I knew that they were going to have to trade Kimbrell. I just figured it would be later in the year.
Yeah.
And I guess I was hoping maybe they would get more, some guys that were major league ready. But to dump Melvin, who clearly,
well, that's the thing, right? I mean, they probably got 50% of Kimbrell's value. Because that, what was the hand? What do you think the handicap was for having Melvin and hoping to get something back? Because that's what I can't figure out. Because when I think about that, I mean, I think Melvin was a 50% handicap.
Yeah, I think that after it was all said and done with us picking up Quinton and Maybin, the Padres still picked up like $36 million in additional payroll. With the money left on Kimbrell and the money left obviously on Melvin.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited with the haul that we got, I guess. You know, and as much as I love Kimbrel, and it really was, Steve, like sort of the biggest emotional blow of the trade season right at the last minute, I think Kimbrel is more valuable to us now as a trade asset than he was going to be in 2017 than to us when we're going to have a winning team. Right. I think he was going to be a highly valuable closer on a losing team or not a competing team. And we got the most for him, which included getting rid of Melvin. So it sucked, but I'm glad it happened. And I think Hart knew it was going to happen. You brought this up with DOB, you know, with bringing in Johnson and Greeley. I don't think this was ever off his radar.
You know? Right. No, clearly they were covering themselves.
Yeah.
For this eventuality, there was a lot of spin out of the front office that they weren't going to move Kimbrel, clearly now.
Yeah.
They obviously had a huge objective to get rid of Melvin, like at almost any cost. I think that not only did they want to clear the books of the money, but it seems like there was even more to it than that, that they just needed to get him out of the clubhouse, get him away from the new culture that they had brought in, all of that. It seems like it was extremely important to the team to get rid of Melvin, more so than we even realized.
Yeah.
Well, and Hart had a comment. He said, you know, he's a likable young man. He's still in the prime of his career, but we didn't see it happening here in Atlanta. And there's more, I think, to that than just on the field stuff, as you're saying. And not that I've never read that he was causing problems in the clubhouse and things like that.
Not a clubhouse.
But I think that kind of ineffectiveness, I think that can kind of rub off on people too. You see Johnny Gomes hit a home run today to tie up that game in the sixth game of the season, and he's so jacked up. And, you know, I think this it has to have an impact on the team, the same way that watching Melvin Upton strike out with runners in scoring position has a negative impact, you know.
I agree.
So, yeah.
And look, you know, I have been bought in on this rebuild really from the beginning. But the not moving Kimbrel part never made sense. It was as much as the Markakis thing has felt a little bit like we're half pregnant, keeping Kimbrel was much more so. And finally pulling the trigger on that, I was really happy with it. It was what the team needed to do to really complete this move, to really complete this, change that they are trying to effect here with the team. It also made me realize that I am so rooting for Laundrie, even more so than I realized, because it was a huge blow. I couldn't believe it. And then by like Monday night, after they won that first game, and my 8-year-old and my 15-year-old, who were so down on the Braves all offseason about Hayward going and Gattis going and stuff, were like, I want a Grilly shirt. I want a Markakis shirt. So I think this was a terrific move by the Braves. I really do. By the way, Matt Whistler, the pitching prospect that we got in the deal, he pitched for Gwinnett today, his first appearance as a Brave, went 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, no runs. So not a bad start for Whistler today.
Yeah, he had the rated the best fastball in their farm system.
So Kurt, Grilly and Johnson both were dominant this week. Does that change anything for you? Does it soften the blow any that Kimbrel's not here?
No. And I wouldn't be surprised. We've talked about it before that those guys get moved too. That they're right now, this is all kind of a test to see for other teams. They're going to be watching those guys. And hopefully the Braves are in it, but if they're not, you have to believe that those are pieces that they would move at the deadline too. Because again, why, if you're out of it, if you're in a rebuilding situation, would you keep those guys around if you're, 12, 15 games out? Again, hoping that we're in it. I think that those are pieces that they will end up moving as well.
Yeah, and I would throw Gomes and Przinski in that as well, that come the trade deadline, if we're not in it, those pieces will become trade bait too. The one thing that I would be really upset about is we start approaching the trade deadline. We're in the wild card hunt. Don't move those guys. Like, accept the surprise and embrace it, and don't screw around by moving those guys at that in that scenario.
Well, sure, and it, I would think that if you are in it, it's due to chemistry, and to take pieces out of it obviously would deeply impact that.
Yeah. Well, so let's actually talk about chemistry and what we saw this week and how much of it is real and how much of it may not be. But first, a quick word from Front Row Seats. Everybody, get the best deals on Braves tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com, use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, that's frontrowseatsllc.com. So guys, I was driving this past morning as we were going to Florida before all the games had started, so opening day, and listening to MLB radio. And what they were doing for the first few hours in the morning was checking in on all the hosts of all the shows that they have throughout the day and night and asking for their predictions. You know, it was not only like MVP and Cy Young winner, but a lot of like, who's going to make it to the postseason? And the Braves just weren't mentioned at all. We know when they talked about the NL East, obviously 90% of the conversation was the Nats. You'd get a little Mets and Marlins, some guys saying, well, you know, they may make the wild, you know, they may be in contention for wild card. But, you know, I mean, Hammy, you started talking about it with Jonah Carey in Grantland weeks and weeks ago that everyone thinks the Braves will not hit. They will not compete this week. It's just it is a fait accompli that the Braves are going to be out of it this season. And then we go out and have this 5-1 week and look damn good doing it. I mean, it was really an amazing, amazing week. Just exciting, exciting games, good baseball, almost no errors, timely hitting, all of it, right? So the sample size is small. I get that. But let's talk about what we think is real and what we think is a mirage. So, Ham, start with the starting pitching.
I think it's real. You know, if you look through this, the first five-game win streak until today, they were obviously 5-0, 1.4 ERA, 4 saves, a shutout, 2 quality starts, only gave up 7 earned runs, a batting average against of 194. I mean, that's insane. That's better than, you know, that's as good a run as we've had in any of the past season. So, and, you know, from the starting pitching standpoint, I think it's very much real. You know, Tehran was the real deal. He had 6 innings and both of his starts. He gave up 1 earned run in both of them. A ton more strikes than balls, just totally in command and in control. A winning pitcher. I think Tehran is very much the real deal. I think Wood is too. I mean, he went up, you know, against Braves killer Bartolo Colon.
yeah, and didn't have his best stuff today, but managed to get through.
Keep us in it.
Yeah, keep us in
it. He kept us in it, right?
6 2/3, I think, yeah.
Right. And, you know, he's still very much set up to be the, you know, unsupported by the offense and have a tough luck season. But he's the real deal. And I'm excited to see that with Wood, especially. And, you know, Miller, he looked great. I mean, if he could do that, get, you know, a lot of ground balls, some Ks, not giving up any runs, nothing wrong with that. So that was exciting. I mean, Stultz is for real, but I don't think he's really good.
He's a 4.
Yeah.
He's a 4.
So I think it's, you know, that's exciting. And that's, you know, is not as surprising. I mean, we knew the pitching was going to keep us in it. It was the offense we were worried about. You know, it's troubling that Minor, I've written off Minor for the season.
Well, right. Did you all see today that
he's got
a new shoulder soreness?
He's going back to Atlanta or whatever. He's going back to see the doctor, rather. Yeah. So we'll see. But I mean, I think the starting pitching is great. And, you know, and the relief pitchers are great too. I mean, only Juan Jaime gave up the run today, but otherwise everybody looked good this week. McKeerahan, Avilan, Cody Martin, Cuniff. You know,
I mean, Martin and Cuniff,
whatever,
have been like unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think, as they were setting the rosters, that we were really worried about the bullpen. And then Cuniff and Martin are amazing. Grilly and Johnson, like 10 times better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, four innings from Jim Johnson, three hits, six Ks, no walks, no runs, right? And Greeley, three saves. I mean,
yeah, just
it's amazing.
Amazing.
So I think it's a little – so I'm not as – I could see that not being as dominating for the rest of the season. I think we had a really good week. I think there's some young guys who might come back down to earth a little bit. So maybe it's a little bit of mirage, but I was very excited by the pitching this week. Very, very excited.
And then let's talk about the offense, which I think is the more questionable side of the whole package. Right, and it's the reason no one's picking the Braves. We let three of the four best hitters on the team go. We didn't replace them with anything that seems even remotely comparable. You know, and when I look at this lineup from an offensive perspective, I see it's kind of split into two sides. We've got half of the guys, half of the position players, or half of the positions, should I say, we know exactly what we have. We have an all-star in Freddie. We have a damn good hitter in Markakis. Journeyman veterans make up center field and left. In theory, you know what you're going to get from those combination of players. They're going to be maybe a little bit better than replacement-level players. And then on the other side, you have four question marks. In ascending order, the third base platoon of Johnson and Kiospo. Simmons, who we don't quite know, and then two rookies in Peterson and Bethencourt. So, you know, if Peterson and Bethencourt can really hit this year, they didn't really even have great weeks. Bethencourt's slash line was 200, 250, 333. Jace Peterson, 167, 250, 167. I mean, they didn't do much. If those guys can actually hit, If Simmons had a great week, he hit 304. He led the team in extra base hits and RBI this week. I mean, like, Simmons looked good.
Yep.
You know, if those four positions could really do something, maybe this offense could produce. You know, the Braves were, again, small sample size. I know it. They were second in the NL. They were second in runs this week, third in on base, third in slugging, last in strikeouts.
Crazy.
So what does it all mean? We, in honesty, we have no idea, right? We need to have this conversation in like 6 or 8 weeks. But my God, it was encouraging. I mean, if the offensive output this week was what we all thought it was going to be, Kurt, if it was your shot in the dark of the starting pitchers give up no runs and we still lose four of the six games, which was a pretty damn good bet.
And the starting pitching didn't really give up. They gave up fewer runs than I even predicted, even with the game thrown in today. So,
and the offense showed up. Yeah. The offense showed up. So,
and the lack of strikeouts. It's a different team.
It really is a different team.
I mean, it's amazing. Again, it's only 1 week. That's what's the most promising offensive sign for me coming out of was the patience, not striking out. It was just great.
And high OBP, I mean, if you get on base, you know, you can score runs. And the extra base hits, we had a ton of extra base hits. That game, what was it? I guess it was last night. It was Saturday night, the two doubles and a triple in a row, followed by the Markakis single, stringing together all those runs. And we even hit some home runs this week, right? We had four home runs this week, right? Przinski was the first one. Then Maben hit one.
Freeman
had one, and then Gomes today. I think we hit four home runs this week. You know, if we hit four home runs a week and have high on base and keep hitting some extra base hits as well, you know, this offense could do something with the great pitching we have.
Well, in not striking out, I mean, it puts so much pressure on the other pitchers, because really kind of the key these days, you have so many specialists at the end of these bullpens that you kind of want to get into that soft middle bullpen area. And really the easiest way to do that is to run up the pitching count on the starting pitching. And so you make them throw you a lot more pitches because you're not striking out on three balls, you know, three thrown balls.
Yep.
it runs it up there a lot quicker, and you can get into that soft area of the bullpen, and that's where you can make your damage. I mean, once you get into the back end of these where they have, I mean, every team's got guys that can throw hard at the end of their bullpen. That's tougher to do, but if you get into, I mean, like when we had to put Jaime in there today, and I mean, obviously that guy's only on the team because we didn't want to send him through and run the risk of losing him, which now I think that eventuality might be getting closer.
Yeah, I mean, as a side note, if Jaime is on the team by like this coming Wednesday, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, three walks, you know, in a tie game, which that's just terrible. But, you know, I mean, I'm belaboring the point now, but you get my point. I mean, it's exciting to see the transformation and just to watch a different type of baseball. I mean, I got bored of lots of strikeouts and supposedly lots of home runs.
Team is very exciting.
It was
an amazing week.
Just an amazing week.
It's fun. I mean, it's not even exciting. It's fun. I mean, I was on a boat all week long, so I didn't get to watch much of the Braves, but every highlight that I could pick up, I mean, I'm going to put quotes around this, sat in the sports bar all day long so I could pick up shots of the Braves from ESPN, which of course was Red Sox Yankees again and Dodgers Padres. That was like the big series they chose to cover all week long. But yeah, I mean, it was fun to see the scores. My son and I were in there, and it was fun to see the scores and see them winning. And yeah, it's great stuff.
All right, folks, our last word of the night from Front Row Seats. Don't forget to get the best deals on Braves tickets online. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com, use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, that's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, guys, let's play fair or foul for the first time in the 2015 season, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, Hammy, fair or foul? John Schuerholz throwing out the first pitch at the home opener was a good choice.
I liked it. I say fair. I can't believe he's been in baseball for 50 years. He's been a winner, you know. We may have had issues with him at some points, but he's been a winner wherever he's gone. We're lucky to have him here as a Brave. I think it was nice. It was a nice way to honor 50 years in the game. I think it was sort of goofy that Bobby Cox was up there in his blazer and his batting helmet, but I think as at the same time, and at first I was like, that's sort of goofy or just sort of silly, but I think it showed character. I think it showed their friendship. I was actually glad that it happened. So I don't know. Sometimes those things are so ceremonial and they actually had more meaning to that pitch than I think others do.
Curtis, so, how about you?
Fair.
Yeah, I guess fair. I mean, I'm not a huge Schuerholz fan and I'm kind of ready for that hierarchy to go away, as I've said 1,000 times. But, you know, I the Braves owe a lot to the reconstruction of the 90s and their place in the echelon of baseball, all ties to Schuerholz and Cox, and who else, I guess, are they going to, maybe John Smoltz, since he's going into the Hall of Fame, but he's probably covering a game somewhere. So, yeah, I guess I'm fair.
All right, so this is Steve about to say this, so send the hate mail to me.
Yes, please
do. I get that Schuerholz is a giant in not only the game of baseball, but even larger in the Braves organization, and he's the mastermind behind so much of the success that the Braves have had. That said, to me, there was something a little distasteful and congratulatory about putting him up there only in the context of, you know, firing Wren, that press conference when they fired Wren, and really it was more like a party than a funeral. And they were just talking about how excited they were with John Hart and Bobby and all that stuff, and no acknowledgement of that Hart and Schuerholz were around for everything that Wren did. And then to throw him under the bus like they did and completely distance themselves and then put him up on the mound, something about it really rubbed me the wrong way. Do you guys see any of that?
Yes.
Not as much.
You know, there's just,
I don't connect that. Yeah, I guess they're more disconnected in my mind. I mean, I think it was the 50th, I don't know. I think they were just trying to honor that. I don't see it as this big connected thing.
I hear you. But, you know, there is something about the lack of any acknowledgement that these guys were around for everything that Wren did. Everything. And then yet they distance themselves. And just on the first opening day following that, I just didn't like that. All right, guys, fair or foul. You care what Gattis, Hayward, and Justin are doing this week or, you know, for the season coming up. Curtis?
Yeah, absolutely fair. I mean, this week is kind of offset and maybe a little different because the Braves went 5-1, so it wasn't quite at the forefront of everything that I thought about because I was more interested in what was happening with our team. I did see some stuff going around that Gattis has already struck out more times than the Braves have, which was kind of funny. But yeah, I'll be curious to see, of course, what they do. And Kimbrel the same way. All these guys that we've shipped off. And frankly, Melvin, too. I'd be curious to absolutely. He might be at the top of the list to see if he can turn it around. So, yeah, fair.
Hammy, how about you?
Somewhat. Maybe more fair for Hayward than others. For some reason, that's the trade that kills me the most. I mean, Upton sort of came and went. He was never always a Brave, you know, Justin Upton. Gattis felt like he came out of nowhere, but Hayward was the one. And so him more than anyone I'm following, I guess followed by Kimbrel. I don't really care about Justin. And Gattis less, but not as much as Hayward.
So I followed them all pretty closely this week, but not from a really good place. Like, I don't want any of them to do well all season. I really don't. Like, I want the Braves and us as fans to be so right about all the moves that we made and all the rebuilding. I know, I'm sort of a small person.
So how did they do this week?
Well, so Gattis is 0 for the season. I mean, Gattis still doesn't have a hit. Mm. And Gattis on two consecutive games, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't remember exactly, had two golden sombreros.
Wow.
I mean, Gattis just had a dreadful week. Upton had a nice week, batting around 280, a homer. Hayward, exactly what you'd expect, 250. You know, his OBP a little over 300. Basically, Hayward. I don't know. You guys were on the road. We had stopped at a hotel Sunday night, and we're watching the opening night ESPN game, Cubs Cardinals, and they were talking about how Hayward's stance was different, and where his hands were different, and basically the storyline. And he went like 3 for 5 that night. And the storyline was Matheny fixed Hayward, in one spring training in a way that the Braves couldn't in 4 years.
How much of the game did you throw up?
It was awful. It was just horrendous. It was horrendous.
Well, that is, the Cardinals.
I know, exactly.
He did have the first hit of 2015.
Yeah, he did. And then came around and scored and high-fived Molina. It was just horrible.
That's the one that hurts the most by far.
Yeah. Did the neck tattoos, did they like creep down his arm and crawl?
And they high-fived him too.
Yeah.
All right, guys, time for Shot in the Dark, our crazy prediction for the coming week. But first, our first listener pick for Shot in the Dark this season was from Braves Chop House on Twitter, who predicted that Andrelton would lead the team in home runs this week. So not quite. We'll give him partial credit for, as I mentioned earlier, Simmons led the team in RBI and extra base hits. All right, guys, so before we get to this week, let's check in on last week. So, Curtis, you predicted all starters would give up 2 or fewer runs, but the team would go 2-4. Both Wood and Stoltz had 3-run games this week, not to mention that 5-1 record that I predicted.
Right. Well, Stoltz would only give up 1 earned run, though.
Okay, well, all right, that is true. Mm-hmm. All right, but still. I predicted that Simmons would hit 600 this week. Not quite, he had 304 average by the end of the week. So I proclaim no winner. Neither of us were really very close. So Curtis, this week, what do you got?
I'm seeing a big week from Freddie Freeman. I'm thinking we're going to ride him the whole way through. I've added a little caveat to this. 340, 1 home run, 3 doubles.
All right. So, Hammy, what do you got? It's your first shot in the dark of the season, Hammy. Make it good.
I'm going to make it
no pressure.
Crazy
as you went
as
0 for 40 last year.
That is not true.
It was like
2 true.
For 38. Come
right.
On. Come
My
on,
bad.
Kurt.
Sorry.
Neither of those correct stats. So since we're going to Toronto this week, I think Pierzynski is going to have a game there. He's going to lead us because of his familiarity with the American League Park and hit. He's going to have two homers this week.
Yeah, nice. Okay, Hammy. I predict that Cahill, our latest pitching acquisition and fifth starter who will have his debut this week, he's going to pitch eight innings of two-run ball. All right, so folks out there, please get in your shots in the dark on Twitter or Facebook. Use hashtag ABTSITD for Atlanta Baseball Talk Shot in the Dark. Get them in before first pitch on Monday, and we'll announce it on Twitter. All right, so guys, let's look at the week ahead. So three at home against Florida, and then three on the road at Toronto. Here are the pitching matchups. We get Shelby Miller, Latos, who we have absolutely rocked last week. Trevor Cahill in his Atlanta debut, as I mentioned, versus Tom Kohler, who faced up against Miller last week, and who was very good, minus the two-run homer to Pruszynski. And then Stoltz, Dan Herron, who we didn't see in the first series, but he had a nice start, six innings, one run. On to Toronto, where it'll be Tehran, Drew.
Dare I say?
Dare you say what?
Braves killer.
Dan Herron?
Braves killer.
Yeah.
Dan Herron, Braves killer.
Yeah. All right. In Toronto, it'll be Tehran, Drew Hutchinson, who got absolutely killed and gave up like seven runs in his last start. Alex Wood faces R.A. Dickey, who had a very good start last week. And then the final game is Shelby Miller, Daniel Norris, who gave up three in his first start. So, Hammy, how about you? What do you think the Braves go in these six games this week?
I think we go 4-2. I think we lose to Herron and Dickey.
All right, Curtis, what do you got?
I like 4-2 as well.
Care to predict how it goes?
Yeah, 2-2. I totally, okay. That's so funny. I totally forgotten about R.A. Dickey.
Yeah. After you read his book. No, he's, never mind.
All right. I will.
I memorized it. I quote it to my children.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will go 4-2 as well. I think 2-2.
Steve already falling off the cliff
after 5-1.
So
real fan, way to go, Steve.
Yeah, I know. So one of our, one of our followers on Twitter about a half hour ago asked us to break out the postseason hope meter this week, which it does seem a little premature for that, but do you guys think, based on this first week, is your prediction for wins this season, is it going to be any higher now based on what you saw this week? I was 79. Curtis, I think you were 77. Hammy, I don't remember. I don't remember if you were on that show or not.
I think I said 76.
Okay. So you guys think do you think the prospects are better this year?
I do. Just watching. I mean, I think not by much. I think the Nats are going to win the East, and it's, I don't think we're a wild card, but I think we're a better team than maybe I was feeling heading into the season. Like, I didn't have a lot of hope and excitement around the team. It felt very much rebuilding, but there's an identity here, and Markakis had a good week. The pitching was great. It just sort of reminded me that we had good pitching, and I think we could win over 80 games.
For all the complaining I did about the Markakis signing, and I still think 4 years was too long, and I still think it didn't quite make sense with other moves. That said, I was pretty damn happy every time he came up to the plate this week.
Yeah.
I was very happy to see that stabilizing force in the lineup. Curtis, what do you think? More than 77?
I still think that's where you're going to be. I love that we went 5-1 this week. We had one game that we scored a lot of runs, and the others was kind of 2-3, which is, I'm still worried about the offense. I think the pitching is going to be good, and I've said that. I'm not waffling on that at all, but I'm still worried about the offense over the course of a season. Peterson has gotten off to a very slow start. There's just some pieces. Well. Yeah, there's some pieces that are, it's going to take some time for these guys to to figure it out on a major league level. And I'm excited to watch them. But I still think that that's the number where they're going to be. And I don't think that that's some sort of hateful, negative thing. I mean, I just think that that's kind of reality. When you have to face the pitching that they're going to face over the course of this season with 19 games against the Nationals and 19 games against the Marlins. I mean, I know that we went 3-0 against them, but they've still got some great pitchers down there. So that's what I base that on, not on some negativity thing.
Yeah, and again, it's crazy early and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I could see this team, if they really are who they seem to be this week anyways, breaking 80 for sure.
Yeah, and my fun meter is like 1,000.
Yeah,
absolutely. My fun meter is 1,000. Exactly, which is really, I mean, all you can ask for in some ways with their rebuilding season. You know, at least they'll be fun to watch, and they're a likable group of guys.
And they are fired up.
Yeah,
they are fired up. All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.